This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well, thank you. I hope you can hear me because it's actually pouring with rain over here.
Oh, wow.
That's not interfering.
Not at all, but you've had an incredible amount of rain, haven't you?
There has been, actually. And I mean, it's it's like Pesach's got here too soon. First of all, there was the plague, and then we've had fires, and now we've got floods. And it's not even Pesach yet.
No, absolutely. But these are the times that we're living in, I think. Sydney Robertson and family flee Ukraine's second largest city. So you told us about them last week. What is the latest?
So we did. And as listeners might remember, her name is Miriam Moskowitz from Sydney. And she and her husband, who've been leading the Chabad community in Kharkiv, which is the second largest city in Ukraine. And they had told us that they would be captains on the ship, the last to leave. Sadly, rockets landed on a house two doors away from them. Mm. Then the school which they run was hit by rockets as well. And they thought, we're putting our families at risk. And so she, her husband, five of their 12 children, four of their grandchildren, got on a bus and, in fact, spoke to the Sydney Morning Herald from a bus on the way to the border of Moldova, which is just 30 or 40 kilometers from where they were. And so the last we know is that they're on a bus to Moldova, where they hope to get to Israel from there. Mm. And so pretty sad situation. There have been, and as I'm sure everywhere around the world, there have been solidarity ceremonies, prayer services in Melbourne, in Sydney, for not just the Jews of Kharkiv, but everyone in Ukraine, obviously. And because of this direct Sydney connection, obviously heightened awareness of the community over there.
Do we know what is going on with the community over there? Have they given much information on that?
What we've been hearing is that there have been, the synagogues, the shuls have been used as refuges, places where people could bunker down, etc. Not that they were necessarily built as bomb shelters, but just to come together in solidarity. But even that, what we're hearing is people have started to leave. And just this morning, I saw a report that 300 people arrived in Israel from the Ukraine. So it certainly looks like that they are joining, some of them are certainly joining some of the masses who are trying to leave the country.
Really, really a terrible situation, and let's hope it gets resolved soon. You just wonder, whatever happens, do even when this is over, do they go back? Do people, I mean, somebody who is on Shlichut, who's looking after a community, obviously might go back, but you just wonder what will happen to the community.
I guess it's all a function of exactly what happens in the bigger picture in terms of what the country will look like, under whose rule it will be at the end of this terrible situation.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken extols his Australian Jewish connection.
It's a remarkable story, actually. Antony Blinken paid a visit to Australia very recently, and he gave a speech at the University of Melbourne where he talked about his connection with this country, and he says it's one of the factors that shaped him. And he was referring to his late stepfather, Samuel Pizarro. Now, Samuel Pizarro, whose name I'm sure is well known, wrote a brilliant book called Of Blood and Hope. Mm. Samuel Pizarro was in the camps in Auschwitz for 4 years from the ages of 12 to 16. At the age of 16, obviously, he survived. And he was sent out to Australia, to Melbourne, because he had a couple of uncles here, some relatives here. And as Pizarro himself wrote in his book, that they helped repair him as a human being. And he went to university, and there he became friend of someone called Sir Zelman Cowan. Sir Zelman Cowan became the second Jewish Governor General of Australia. And Sir Zelman Cowan helped Samuel Pizarro get a scholarship to Harvard Law School, where he then went on to become an advisor to President John F. Kennedy, and an internationally renowned legal scholar and philosopher, and even one of those who came up with the idea of East-West relations and East-West trade, a brilliant individual. And so Blinken is Samuel Pizarro's stepson. Pizarro Samuel Pizarro married Blinken's mother. And so Blinken says, because of Samuel Pizarro, and his, who describes his coming out to Australia as remaking him as a human being. Blinken says it's what happened to Pizarro that has shaped him and his commitment to human rights, etc. So just really out of left field, no one, when I say no one, no one in the community had any idea that Blinken had this strong passion for Australia because of how it, in his words, remade Samuel Pizarro, who went on to become such a brilliant, brilliant individual.
So interesting that, because as you say, you never know these stories until you know them. A play about remarkable Holocaust, a story, My Father's, is to be performed in Sydney. Tell us about this.
So indeed, and I have to, and I'm just mentioning it because it's going to be on the stage here in Sydney. And full disclosure, it's my own father's story.
Wow.
And
wow.
So it's my both of my parents came from Rhodes Island, and I know that a significant number of South Africans came from Rhodes Island to Cape Town and Johannesburg, and my father was one of them. When he left Rhodes in 1938 for Rhodesia, as Zimbabwe then was, the issue was he was engaged to be married, not to my mother, to somebody else.
Right.
His aim being to bring his parents, his sisters, and his fiance. They were among the 1,700 Jews of Rhodes who were sent to Auschwitz, where my father's were murdered at Auschwitz. His sister survived, and he was told that his fiance had been killed. She was told he had been killed. Half a century later, approximately, he overheard his fiance's name. Now, I have spoken, I've given countless presentations on the Holocaust during my various careers, and I've always mentioned my father's story as a way of personalizing, humanizing, if I could, but the Holocaust, because who can compute, you know, what 6 million means?
Right.
And 2 years ago, I got a call from a theater producer in here in Sydney, who's a member of the community, who said, I've heard about your father's story. Why don't you write a play? So I said, I'll have a go. And so I, for the last 2 years, I've been working on this. And Howard, this play is due to go to on stage here in Sydney next week. And
what a surreal feeling it must be, not only because you wrote the play, but this is a recording of your own family's history.
Indeed. And so, yeah, indeed. So 6 performances at a theatre. In fact, at 2 theatres, one at one theatre. And then there's also the Jewish Film Festival, which has agreed to put on a couple of productions as well. And that's taking place next week. So. And is I would not have mentioned that, not with the fact that it's out there in public. It's attracting significant mainstream media.
I think this is incredible. A couple of questions. How did you fill in the gaps, you know, in terms of bridging the story that you know with something that needs to still be a little bit of entertainment?
Well, with a lot of, it's been a very challenging exercise, I have to say. The truth is, I did not spend a lot of time with my father because my parents divorced when I was a young kid, 9 years old or so, and father left Zaire, Rhodesia for Zaire.
Right.
And so, but he did write diaries, and the short amount of time which I did spend with him, he did share information. He also wrote some diaries, and also my wife somehow managed to track down through Facebook the daughter of my father's fiance.
I wanted to ask, what happened to her? She clearly got married. If she's had a family.
Exactly. She went off and made her own life, got married, went off to Europe. And my father got married, went to the Belgian Congo, as it was, and then South Africa. And so I'm reluctant to say what happened after my father heard her name, because you've got to come and see the play.
Well, it's a little far. Is it going to be filmed? Is there a way in which we can see it?
So I don't know, but I need to make that.
Vic, you have to because we've got listeners, and you've now created this expectation, and it would be absolutely amazing if we could share a link to it on YouTube or one way or another where people could actually watch this. I mean, I understand that within Australia you want people to go and see it, but here we don't exactly have the option at this stage. So if you could try and find a way to make it available, maybe on YouTube, we could share it with listeners, and that would be that would really be absolutely awesome to see.
I will do that. And what's been quite remarkable is, because as word of this has got around, I thought I was the only descendant of Rhodes Island Jewry in Australia. And people are coming out of the woodwork to say, I've got a connection from Rhodes. And which has been actually quite gratifying to hear that there are more people from Rhodes Island in this community than I had any idea.
That is an absolutely incredible story. Just good luck to you and well done to you. What an incredible, incredible initiative, and what a way to capture family history. Vic Aladev, our Australia correspondent, bringing us the latest from the region.